5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kind? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 669 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is February 6th, 2022. We are a video game podcast. But, you know, we like to think of ourselves more than just video games. We talk about life. We talk about beans. We buy our own beer. We are incredibly advanced in our age as well. Anyway, all right. If you are tuning in, you should be tuning in live because we do it every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. the East Coast. And if you're out in the frozen tundra of the Central Time Zone, 3 p.m., we are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. We do, in fact, release an audio-only version. So if you want to listen to us while you are sweating to the oldies, go right ahead. Download it on your favorite podcast app. Joining me today, I have the lovely Robin Tate.
Yeah, that is me. I am lovely. Absolutely gorgeous. You know,
you really are.
I'm so jealous. You know, when Judith and I were first married, I told her, you know, we were very young and, you know, because I used to snore an awful lot when I was younger. I mean, it was really, really bad. And when we were first married, I mean, she was, I don't know, she was 23, 27. And I told her that the reason when I lay on my back that I farted so much was that my testicles dropped down and blocked off my bum, so it stopped the airflow. And that's why I snored. And, you know, I know now it was really silly. But she used to, you know, she cupped my balls and lifted them up just to stop, you know, this, so it wouldn't happen anymore. And about 3 years after her third year of marriage, she eventually twigged on that I was only winding her up. But it was a good 3 years.
You do realize I'm going to ask her this about this story one of these days.
Absolutely. I want to be there when you ask that question. Good evening, everybody. It's Robin Tate. I'm in Ballymena in Northern Ireland. I hope you are all well.
Wow. Fantastic, Robin. Thank you for that. And also joining us, the ultra lovely Kim Woods.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's me from the frozen tundra. Although today it is rather warm and our snow and ice is melting off. So hopefully that'll be the last of it for this winter before we all start warming up again. I hope. So, yeah. Welcome to the show, people.
Yes, welcome to the show, indeed.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Gosh, where to go from here? I suppose we could talk real quickly about birthdays, because we do have a very special birthday coming up. It would be Phil Olsen and his twin on the 8th of this month. He is turning, I believe, 42, maybe 41, somewhere in there.
Damn,
but, you know, it's
Phil.
Well, yeah. See, Phil is really young.
I know,
but he
right?
just looks really old. That's the thing. He lost all of his hair at like 12 years old, and so it gives off this aura of him being older. But I mean, he's surprisingly young. It's kind of insane. But Phil, we love you. We do want to wish you a birthday. So I have a special birthday song for you. Uh-oh. Now,
are you going to sing it to us, Greg?
Right.
Okay.
So funny.
I don't know. I'm hoping that everybody heard that. I don't know.
If not, Phil, you're going to get this.
Happy birthday to you.
And it'll be cut in later.
Yeah, it might not have gone through. Oddly, that's very weird. I don't know why it didn't play through to you guys. But okay, well, regardless, happy birthday, Phil. You just got a minute and a half of silence. Congratulations.
It's about all we can afford. Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually true. I did not pay the fees. All right. Let's talk some story time, Robin.
Hooray, story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
All right. So this is the time of the podcast, like I think almost every other podcast out there in the world. We're talking about what's been going on in our lives, but we really get into what's been going on in our lives. So I don't know where I want to start with this, because I feel like if we start with Kim, it's gonna take us right into a very hot topic that really has almost become its own segment. So I feel like maybe we should withhold any baked topic for a little bit, and maybe we start with Robin talking about everything outside of baked goods.
Okay. Okay. All right. So baked beans then. Okay. Good week. I've had a good, enjoyable week this week. I have been sort of hectic and all that there, but work-wise, very good. Some very good big meetings this week. And I found finished Friday night. Yeah, that was good. I enjoyed it. So new store opened this week. Done a big deal on Friday. Had a very, very big meeting with the head of my key clients, the man at the top, on Friday afternoon. We had a good meeting there as well. So that's good. That's the first of those. So, yeah, good. And another hectic week this week. I think I've got about 2 hours free on Wednesday at some stage. So, yeah, it'll be fun. Now, what did I want to talk about? Because I can't remember where I set my keys. Oh, yeah, this. So Greg arrived.
Yes.
What has arrived. And it's a fantastic piece of kit. It's an expensive piece of kit. We've had poor old Leslie's down here. So Leslie is
right.
There's Leslie.
See, Leslie. Leslie's yesterday's news.
Leslie is enough. You know, no. Leslie, you know, she bumbles about out here.
Right.
In the man cave.
Did you actually put Leslie on that, by the way? Did you actually name her? Okay, good.
Yes. You have googly eyes.
That's what I want. I do want the googly eyes.
So Leslie is a dumb robot, okay? You know, that's fine. She does the job, but she's not very clever. But, you know, she does the job. She gives you a good suck, but eventually gets you there. But she's here and she does a great job. She bumbles about until her battery's almost done and she goes. So the new robot arrived. I thought, yeah, why not? Why not do this? Because we have this love of vacuum cleaners in this house. Anyway, arrived, fantastic piece of kit, very easy to set up, lovely little app. And it goes and it maps your house. And it takes 2 or 3 times and it's very clever. And you then name your rooms and then you can go... the woman who begins with A, you can ask her to go and tell Greg to vacuum the kitchen.
The Amazon chick.
So we've named our Roomba, or iRobot i7, Greg.
Right.
So when you say to Alexa, do this, it says, yeah, I'll go and ask Greg to vacuum the kitchen.
You know what this. Robin, I think I fear at some point you're going to buy something that's going to be an evolution of this that works along with the Amazon chick, and you'll be able to tell her to do something for you. And yeah.
Anyway, it's a fantastic really well now. You know, you can send it to the room, you can do the whole house, lovely. But I get the little updates from the app. To tell me that Greg's done a good job, and do you want to?
I love that you've named it Greg. Actually, I really do. I genuinely do. It makes me laugh every time.
Do you want, you know, review your job now? When Greg has a thing that he doesn't understand, because he's clever, not unlike Leslie, he's bumbled about. He works with purpose. Does Greg? When Greg finds something he's not really sure about, a cable or something, he takes a photograph of it, and that photograph gets sent to my phone, and I review it. I review Greg's work. What did you think? Is this a temporary thing? Is this something that Greg should avoid? So I give you results, and I give you, and then it comes back, and if it's something that you have to learn, it says Greg is learning. Greg has got smarter.
this is the natural, you know, the natural way of life.
I should be enjoying this new robot that we have. I mean, as far as Jasmine's concerned, Greg's sleeping. I want to be like Greg. I want to be the she wants to be like Greg. So, good fun. So, you know, it's early days yet, but I'll let you know how we're getting on with Greg. His sucking.
I'm going to be so sad when you sack me.
Is that crack? Well, Greg has a cousin, and Greg's cousin is a bit of a wet pitch, and she does wet stuff and wet mopping, so we may, you know, adopt the cousin as well. Fantastic. Loving it. It's early days yet, but Judith's impressed with the technology, and that's pretty hard to do. I don't know how it happened, and I don't know why I decided to do it. Maybe it's all the talk of Greg doing some stuff. This is not the Hoover Greg. This is the fantasy Greg that we all love and adore. Maybe building those glass cages and talking about his Godzilla diorama, which is opens all sorts of ideas. Anyway, what was it? I can't remember, but I started the head staggers one night and said, wouldn't it be good if this thing behind me, this big display case with all of the display stuff in it, if I moved it round and separated the whole rooms, wouldn't that be great? And I got a little office space here and the games area over there, and I could change a few things and add more lights. So I thought, oh, I'll pull it out a bit and see what happens. And then you realize when you have four screens, computers, five or six consoles wired up, three TVs and multiple lights and bits and pieces, you realize you've probably got about 3 miles of cables and different connections. So I'd started and I was committed to it. So I was out here last night until 1 o'clock in the morning doing stuff again, and it's starting to come together. Still lots to do, but I'm very happy with this background stuff here now. I'm going to get this all, have to light this. The lighting is lacking. But all of the consoles are now, all the main consoles are on like a wire racking I got, but I've been really, really precise with the cable management. So it's all tight and you can't see the cables. It's all neat and tidy and really well hidden. And, you know, nerds like that. Cable management's an important thing.
It is an important thing. Might I suggest that just to add to everything for your lighting, because likely you're going to have multiple lights that you're going to be getting, right? And so what I ended up doing is for the DTOF and then for the cabinet behind me. The cabinet behind me now is on one smart power strip. And so with my phone, I can turn that on and off and it will take all the lights on and off at the same time.
Yeah.
Instead of having to do them individually, that kind of thing.
I was in IKEA today looking, you know, we had to get some stuff for one of the kiddies' rooms. And I went in and Jesus, busy on a Sunday. Don't do that again, Rob.
Yeah.
I was just looking at some of the light solutions and I do, you know, over at the far side over there, there's little foot long LED strips, all in serial, you know, it's on one plug, so they're all wired, interconnected. And that's the sort of thing that I want, because I mean, these things here, there's what is there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 4, 8, 4, 5, 10, 15, there's 20 compartments in there, and each one really should have a light. So it's how you get the right thing, because I don't want 20 USB plugs or, and I also want to walk in here and go, hey, a bitch, turn the man cave on. At the moment, it's Alexa, turn man cave sign off. And it goes, there you go.
There you
Alexa,
go.
Turn man cave sign on. But I want to do the whole thing for everywhere. So anyway, so yeah, look, but it's fun. I don't have that solution. So I got this other unit when I was down there getting the stuff for the kids' rooms, and a nice little unit for some of the live retro consoles, which are going to be set up. So yeah, I must do a proper tour sometime. I really must. I was away this week. I booked myself into the usual hotel that I've stayed in a couple of times in this area. Wasn't available, so I went and booked in a really fancy pants hotel. It was too fancy for me, wasn't it, Kim? Far too fancy. It had a phone in the toilet. With phones in the toilet before, but not on a,
So here's my question. The phone in the toilet thing, I feel like that is an old school hotel thing. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it used to be the sign of posh, right? Like you had a phone in the toilet. And then I think we've evolved, thankfully, from needing to be on the phone on the toilet.
So I don't have the phone in the toilet, but it had the TV screen in the bathroom mirror. So the bathroom mirror was
very cool.
Wow.
Okay. That is fancy pants.
The reason I booked in it because I wanted the gym, and there was a gym, and I spa and a pool. I just used the gym. And, but yeah, I think I've stretched my expenses account with that one. because I went down to a lovely meal and I'll fuck it. Can I have a vodka martini, please? And just sat there with the big martini glass and yeah, fuck this. Yeah. And that was a good trip. Good trip. Funny, just started to watch this television program called Reacher. Now, I'm a fan of that guy, Styles. What's his name? Styles? Anyway, the author. And I've read a lot of his books because there's a whole series of those Jack Reacher books. And in his books, Jack Reacher is built like a brick shit house. He's 6'4", 6'5", big lad. And Tom Cruise, although those Jack Reacher movies are okay, good action movies.
I think the first one was better than the second one. The first one was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, it got a bit maudlin, the second one. But in the books, he is 6'4", 6'5", built really well. And people are frightened of him. They walk around and turn their heads. You know, he's such a big lad. Where Tom Cruise really isn't that character.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's meany, meany, peeny, meany. So this is good because he is that character. This first, I don't know how many there are, but it is like a 4 or 5 episodes off one of the books. So the first ones I'm watching is booked on the very first Jack Reacher book, which was The Killing Fields. They're not going to win Oscars for the acting. You know, it's NICS, sort of okay. level.
All right.
Yeah, but it's pretty good, and it's, I'm enjoying it. So that's kind of good. And do you know
how you seen the Jack Ryan series? Sorry. Have you seen the Jack Ryan series?
The acting is similar.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's not horrible to me. That's watchable.
Good enough budget, you know, but a bit awkward. Maybe it's just the first season is maybe they'll roll into it. But I'm enjoying that. And I would say go for it. Now, a few of you will be surprised that I have never, ever read or listened to a book by a certain Donald Trump called The Art of the Deal. And it was written about 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I, for whatever reason, I thought, well, do you know what? I'm going to do it. I should. Just to listen to the background of it. And I have. And it's about 9 hours long. And I've listened to the most of it. And it's very, very interesting. And it shows a lot of light on a lot of the crap and mystery and rumors and blows a lot of that crap out the window. Very, do you know what? It's such an interesting life. Just
well, if I remember correctly, just to kind of sidetrack on this, The Art of the Deal, if I do recall, I mean, it was written well before he ever really had any political aspiration. So really, this was an insight into him as a businessman.
Yeah.
And obviously that
with thoughts about politicians and politics back then.
Right.
So it's very interesting because he's been, you like him or not, if you listen to this, you realize that the man has actually been pretty consistent throughout his life. So, yeah, very, very interesting stuff about, you know, just one of the chapters is all about the ice rink in New York, in the middle of New York City that the council spent, you know, back then, $13 million just fluffing it. And he just said, like, I'm going to go and sort that ice rink out, you know, because nobody else is going to do it, and I'll do it for free. And they insisted on paying him after he'd done it. Now, anyway, he done in 4 months what they couldn't get done in 6 years. And it's just interesting, and you know, it's just some of the stuff is it's good. Whether you like them or not, it's an interesting record from 30 years ago in New York, in the early 80s, and how his business started and how he had a bob or two, but his father just didn't hand him everything and didn't take over his father's business. So it's interesting. Anyway, I know that's a topic that people don't feel comfortable talking about, but you know what? It's worth a listen. If you've got lots of this thing you've listened to, everybody's told you about him, I would suggest going and listening to that. It's probably cheap on Audible, and it's an interesting listen. And of course, there is some stuff that he's blustering and blowing his own trumpet, but that's that sort of person.
Okay.
So yeah, all right. So a lot of work done, a lot of stuff, good man cave stuff. Greg's giving me a blow in the house. bit of TV, bit of time. Yeah, so life is good. And on the 14th, when, don't forget Valentine's Day. 14th, goodness, it's still 2 weeks away. That's the day of the flipping fiber. Still ages away. Fiber's coming. And
Valentine's Day.
Boba Fett was good. Oh, yeah. Hopefully somebody talk about Boba Fett. Someone hopefully will.
I'm going to be talking about it actually next. So
okay, good. Right. So what have you guys been doing?
Well, I'll go next, and then Kim, what we'll have you do just so to setting the stage properly. Save the joined conversation for the very last thing you talk about. So we'll get the calendar update before that. Okay.
Right.
For me, similar, Robin, a busy work week, in a good way. Had some great meetings wrapping up on Friday, and I've got actually a big meeting come tomorrow. So, good stuff all on the work front. But I was actually able to carve out time on multiple days this week, which was awesome to be able to play Halo Infinite, on the gaming night, but also with you, Robin. So it's just nice when I can make that happen.
I wasn't really there. I was there, but I wasn't really there.
I know. I was there in spirit.
I was there in the hotel bedroom,
Friday you were there though. Friday you were.
Friday. Oh, yeah.
But we'll talk about that in a second. I have been watching a few different shows. The Wheel of Time on Amazon Prime, I have seen it. I've heard people talk about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to start watching this. So I'm going to check it out. And very different than what I was thinking it was going to be. And here's the funny thing. I don't really know what the hell's going on in this show. Really have no clue because I have no real foundation to the characters. I think I've missed important story plot points, but I like it. I keep watching it. I'm drawn to it. I don't know why. It's fantasy kind of, wizards and warlocks, if you will. But they use different names for it within the show. I legitimately couldn't tell you what really is happening with the show other than there's a few people they have basically declared they're potentially the chosen ones. Not that they for sure are the chosen ones, but they're potentially the chosen ones. And they're running towards the White Tower where a bunch of women wizards or mages will basically kind of suss out who the chosen one is or help them determine that. That's kind of where I'm at within the storyline. But there's just some great, just fantastical fantasy moments within all of this stuff. And they do a decent enough job with the special effects. So I'm not completely turned off by that. That's always the danger with any of these kind of B-tier sci-fi shows. Or fantasy shows is what are the special effects going to be like, right? So far so good, and so I've been enjoying it, even though I really don't know what's going on.
Well, there's a book series.
Yes, it's based on a book. So, And I think that was the draw for me. It was like, oh, okay, Game of Thrones was based on a book. They did a really good job of adapting it to television in a serial kind of way. Mm-hmm. So maybe Amazon put some money in with the Wheel of Time. And so, now, are you watching it, Kim? Are you also watching it?
I haven't, but it's on my list. So,
okay. Guess,
you know, it's fantasy, so it's like right up my alley. So,
yeah, the first episode, I have to admit, the first episode was kind of, I started watching it and I kept stopping it. And I was getting distracted by things, life. And so it made it, and I probably missed a whole bunch of really important stuff in that moment in time.
Right.
But then it kicks off into this very big, big moment within the show. And I was like, holy shit. And I was like, okay, well I can get by it. And that just drew me in. And then from there forward, because I was a little afraid this was more like a kind of CW fantasy show where the action wasn't going to be that good. And I was pleasantly surprised that it's not the case. So The Wheel of Time, definitely worth checking out. I have heard if you are a fan of the books, that it is, they've definitely diverted from the book series in a lot of ways. So, if you're a truest, maybe that's not going to be your thing. But for me, who had no, you know, I had no idea what the books are about. So it works. I've also started re-engaging with The Witcher.
Nice.
I don't get why everybody would, because it seemed like a lot of people were really down on The Witcher season 2. Mm-hmm. And to me, so far, it's been really good. I've very much enjoyed it. And so I think I'm on episode 6, right at the end of episode 6, somewhere in there. So yeah, The Witcher, I'd recommend it. I don't, you know, if you like the first season, I don't see why you wouldn't like the second season, at least in my
And this opinion. Is more of a linear story this time instead of jumping around everywhere like the first season did. So
yeah. So now I want to talk about Boba Fett, and this is going to be a bit spoilery. And so I'll try not to be too spoilery, but a couple things. So The Mandalorian came out and everybody loved The Mandalorian. It was fantastic. And then within The Mandalorian, they give you the sneak peek at Boba Fett, and they kind of you have foreshadowing of Boba Fett, you know, is back. And then they released the Boba Fett series. Mm-hmm. And so I won't get into any of the spoilers within the Boba Fett series. But I will say this. The last two episodes I've watched, now I haven't watched the episode from Friday, so I haven't watched the most recent Boba Fett, but I watched the previous two. The interesting thing about that was it wasn't about Boba Fett.
You haven't watched this week's?
No, I have not watched this week's. So I'm hoping they get back to Boba Fett. But it's been odd that the previous weeks have been dedicated to The Mandalorian, when this isn't really a show about The Mandalorian, but he definitely is a major component to that. Just weird to me. It's just weird that they spent
time there.
I know there's reasons.
Yeah,
I know there's reasons.
They're blending him into the story.
Yes.
I mean, you can sort of tell. I was going, wow, because the theme, which I was just playing, the theme and everything is similar, and the art style at the end is similar, and mm-hmm. everything's similar. You know, so, hi, Lord. Oh, Lord, there's got
to be just in time.
So you can sort of kind of tell. It does sort of fit, but I get you, because we were watching Baldy Old Man and Phil. And he's Boba Fett.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
So we were kind of watching that, and then he was doing sand people and finding bollocks in the middle of the desert and sucking them and had water in them and stuff like that. But yeah, it is. I get you. It's taking you away from that. But the next episode, the latest one, is going to take you fucking way out.
Okay. I will say this about, and God, I don't think I've watched the latest episode. Maybe I did, but actually, no, I did. I am caught up on Boba Fett.
Okay. Okay.
There is some CGI work that is being done that is like next level. And it's funny because you think about how, you know, the Mandalorian budget was probably big. You have to think the budget they've put into Boba Fett is just insanely big, because,
and see, if you have two glasses of gin, you just couldn't tell the difference between real life and not. I'd say 95% of the time I was going, is that an actor that just sort of looks like him, or is that CGI? I think there is a bit of an actor in there as well.
There's definitely at times I think they've got a double for real life stuff, but the CGI is insane in this episode.
Just looks like Yoda.
The only thing I would say, some of the facial expressions were a little lacking. And yeah, so that's about the,
95% of the way there.
Yep.
So give it another 10 years and we don't need any liberal actors any longer. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And I was saying this is really the future of cinema in so many different ways, in that, and we've seen it with Star Wars. Star Wars has been the absolute kind of yellow brick road, if you will, to what this future is going to look like, where they can take actors and reproduce them in a younger version for the purposes of the story when they need to, and you will be hard pressed to be able to tell any difference. Again, not wanting to spoil anything, so we're staying clear of that. But Boba Fett, if nothing else, even if you don't like Boba Fett or you don't really care for Star Wars, it's worth watching just for the CGI work they do in this episode. It is insanely good.
Well, when Boba Fett was killed, they had to do something with this, so that's probably why they brought the character.
And they brought in Godzilla, which I still don't understand why they did that with the storyline, but Godzilla makes his way into everything.
I'd love to talk about it in detail and talk about, you know, all the stuff that was going on, but I can't really.
We can do that maybe down the road when it finishes up, maybe do a spoiler cast, something, who knows. But yeah, so Boba Fett, definitely worth the watch. Been enjoying that. That's how Disney Plus gets me to stay a subscriber. I really don't watch anything else other than the Star Wars episodic series, and they've gotten smart. They no longer release the entire, you don't get the entire season all at once. They do it weekly. They understand the value.
I like it.
Look, I mean, this is the smartest thing that they're doing, and Netflix is probably going to start doing it as well. They realize by releasing the full season, they get binge watching happening, but people binge watch and then they jump off. So
they talk about it for a week or 10 days or two weeks, and then it's done. We're in here. It's weeks and weeks later, you know, and it's amazing. I can even remember it.
Serialized TV. Who would have thought it was going to be smart, right? Anyway. Okay. So Kim, let's turn our attention to you.
Okay. Well, it is the first of the month. Well, almost, more or less, the first of the month. So we have, if I can get it off the thing here, that's terrible, a new calendar image. We have, I can't really see if you can see this. So
I do appreciate that he put his pussy first.
Well, you know, that's the kind of guy he is, I guess. So we have Lincoln and Flounder. I don't know who's which, but I don't know.
Lincoln and Flounder. You could go either way on that one.
Right, exactly. So there you go for February. Lincoln and Flounder. Your guess is as good as mine. I'm assuming Flounder is the cat, but fuck. In this day and age,
who knows? I've never thought I would enjoy looking forward to like semi-soft date porn every month. It really is.
Hey, look at that. There you go. News, I have got a faster internet speed and a new router. So
fast. Right. You really do look fast.
Yes.
Yeah, we went from 30 and 30 to 50 and 50. So not overly fast, but where I live, internet is expensive because the next package up is like $120 a month on top of having a house phone because my dad refuses to get rid of our house phone. So, 50 and 50, and my old router, which I've had for, we lived here 5 years, so probably about 8 years, it couldn't keep up. It kept dropping it. One morning, my internet speed was like 7 and 8. So, right. So they come down and hooked up a new router. Now, of course, within hooking a router up, I had to redo our smart plugs. I had to redo my printer. I've still got the outside repeater that I still have to work. So
here's a interesting thing. When they did the Wi-Fi, because I got a new router as well, the tech guy said, so here's the trick. If you you can rename your router and keep the same password. And by doing that, all my smart devices just automatically synced up. Had I known, I would have told you to do the same thing because it saved because I was dreading that. I was absolutely dreading having to redo everything.
Well, and the funny thing is, with my past router, I didn't have to have a password. So, but this one I did, which was funny because I live out in the middle of nowhere. So,
Who's going to steal your internet?
He's going to steal my internet, but I put a password on it anyway. So, he's like, do you want an easy one? I'm like, yes, because the only people that are going to need it is us. Unless somebody decides to stop on the highway, like out in the middle of traffic and just like, oh, hey, they've got, Wi-Fi.
By the way, Kim's password is password.
Exactly. I got a new router. I bumped up our speeds a little bit, which now after reading some things they're telling me now that 1550 is probably what you needed to have anyway between the Xbox and streaming and everything else. And I'm like, well, I wished I'd have known that before. I would have skipped right over 30, but here we are. So
that's good.
Yeah.
And nothing else has happened, right? Nothing else in the week. It's been boring.
What? pretty much. Yeah, it's been pretty quiet. I mean, for the most part, I got a package from someone.
So let's talk about that package.
Yeah, shall we? Well, let's talk about your package, Tank Top. which I had to laugh at the note. That was hilarious. But
I should have had you read the note. That actually, if I really thought about it.
I actually still have the note. So
maybe we save that for a future podcast.
That sounds good.
Robin wants to play his bean song.
I've now joined the Bean Wars. So.
Now, I want to just point something out here. Uh-huh. A very significant comment has been made here.
Uh-oh.
It is, you know, to recap, I sent you a package. Within the package, there was a can of Heinz 57 beans.
Yes.
The UK beans. I actually took one of the cans Robin had sent me and graciously forwarded that to you. Right. I also sent you a bottle of HP sauce, which I was highly concerned with, because that was actually a glass bottle. I'll explain why I was concerned with that in a second. And then I also sent you a bottle of Shaka's M sauce, which is a marinade sauce. I'm not able to send it to Robin, unfortunately, because nobody carries it over on the UK side. Maybe one of these days you'll get a bottle of it, Robin.
Right.
Anyway, so I sent you these little goodies, and when I was going to the post office to send them to you, I figured, okay, flammable liquids, you know, that they always asked you have basically a bomb in your box.
Right.
And
right.
Like, you know, nothing like that. But he's like, any liquids? And I'm all, I'm all, do I say something? I'm like, oh, you know, I packed this pretty good, but my fear was the glass bottle, because if they put this on a plane, you never know.
Right.
Maybe that might crack, break, whatever, and then it's just going to be dripping with crap coming out of it. But sounds like it made it to you fine, with the exception of the can of beans, apparently experienced.
I don't know what happened. Maybe they went from sunny California, and then they came here, and they like shrunk up, and they're like, fuck you, it's cold, so we dented the can, and here we are.
That could be.
Right. So, yeah, it looked like he threw the can against the wall. They had a big old, dent in it, but it was fine otherwise. Yeah. So
Now, getting back to my original comment, there was a significant comment made here, and that is, you didn't say, I have experienced the beans. You said, I have joined the Bean Wars.
Well, yeah.
That means, you know, you've taken up a side, Kim. I feel that you have a strong opinion about the beans.
Kim, probably pretty much call me Sweden at this point. I think that's how that works. Norway, whatever. Look, here's my take on the beans. And I'm pretty sure I've had these beans before, because, you know, they tasted similar to something I had before. Not pork and beans, and definitely not Bush's beans, but they definitely taste like something I've had before. Anyway, I had the beans. I did the toast and beans with the egg on top and a little bit of HP sauce, which I have to say, I did like the HP sauce. That was pretty good. I also liked the other marinade. That was good, too. I had that with some T-bone steaks. Really good. Anyway, back onto the beans. I had the beans, and I have to admit, when I heard about beans on toast, I was pretty grossed out. Not going to lie. Very, very grossed out.
What?
And I thought it was just weird. Beans on toast, of all fucking things. I'm afraid to see what the hell all been going on in the chat, but all right. I have to say, I did all that, and it wasn't terrible. I don't know that I'd ever fix it again, to be honest, but I might. But
So, Kim, I don't know if you've seen. Yes, I have. Names have been withheld to protect the innocents here, but there is some chat evidence that needs to come forward.
Because I'm concentrating on all the feeds right now and watching a fantastic video.
Well, I will let you figure out.
Bean factory in the world, 2.5 million cans of Heinz baked beans sold every fucking day. Every day.
Yeah.
The most popular foods in the whole of the United Kingdom.
So, you know what? The funniest part about this, can we just, impression of beans aside, I don't know, at this point, I probably really, Maybe I don't care anymore, because the reality is the entirety of the UK is enjoying basically an American treat.
Yes, the beans do come from North America.
Yeah, yes. the beans founded in 1869 by Heinz.
Yep.
Now, here's the funny thing, because I was curious. So I this is, again, why I spent half a day doing all of this crap. But I explored the Heinz website. Now, there's two different websites. There's a Heinz UK site and there's a Heinz US site. Now, obviously, the Heinz US site being the founders, that's the
smaller words. So that's the smaller words.
Smaller words. The interesting thing is the entire website is devoid of anything beans. Literally, I pulled up the product page. They do not list beans anywhere on the US site. Now, of course, on the UK site, it's front and center. And they also, of course, talk about salad cream, which, I mean, if you're going to spurt that onto your food, that is definitely a UK only thing. They make the salad cream only for the UK. You cannot buy that in the US.
It's like sour and sweet and, oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
And when you put Heinz tomato sauce in the salad cream, you make this fantastic sauce. Just fantastic for dipping prawns into. Oh.
So then this made me think, let me just go out and see. Maybe there's some ratings of best beans, worst beans. And so I found an updated 2022 review of the best and worst beans, basically the 10 best and worst canned beans. It's from the site called eatthis.com. And
is it an American site? Is that an American site?
Probably,
yes.
Yeah. At number nine was the Heinz beans, and the writer wrote it this way. The best way to describe this can is navy beans floating in an abyss of Heinz ketchup. I personally is not a fan of this can of beans at all. The sauce was very runny and prominent in tomato flavor. One editor bluntly wrote, "Tastes like it's drowning in ketchup." On the other end of the spectrum, one of the other editors ranked this can as one of her top choices.
Sweet
ketchup flavor, delicious. I would put it on my burgers.
1 billion.
And the number one winner, the clear winner,
obviously,
was Bush's beans. Their pork beans. Classic for a reason. Nearly every editor who participated described this beans as classic. Bush's best beans, without a doubt, has mastered the perfect recipe.
Too much flavor, Greg.
Okay, what are you, Robin, really? Too much flavor? This is ridiculous. You need flavor. Okay. And now we need to get into. I tried the baked potato. Okay. I tried the baked potato. Now you saw my image of the baked potato. I butter, then I had some grated cheddar cheese. Baked beans, the Heinz 57 beans, and then a little bit more cheddar because I was afraid there wasn't enough cheese. And then I put pepper. The baked potato itself was a russet baked potato. I coated it with a little olive oil and salted the skin. And so I assumed I did this up properly. Do you deny this, Robin? Is this not done properly?
You just too much fucking thought. You throw a big bloody potato and you bake it in the oven. You don't think about it's a russet or a fucking, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I got a potato,
Or a Maris Piper or whatever you want to have a potato. You just bake a potato and you stuff stuff in it, and it's comfort food. It's not designer. It's not.
I didn't make it designer. I mean, I think it looked like what you had shown me on your image.
Did you buy one potato in the shop or a big bloody bag of them?
I bought actually a few potatoes, not just one.
Did they have muck on them when you bought them?
Yes, they had muck on them. Yes, I had to wash the potato off. Yes.
Okay, I'm really, really, really triggered right now.
I can tell. It's kind of funny. Now, here's the funniest part. I actually like the eggs and toast better. The baked potato was pretty damn boring. I was just like, this is, can't do this.
Well, I'm still going to half a can.
So I think I liked the eggs and toast and beans better. And it probably because the HP sauce really helped bring out some flavor within that. Ironically,
when you cross on a big sea journey, yeah, like all those years ago, and you started eating turkey, and then all of a sudden you invented, I don't know, what did you invent? You didn't really invent that much, did you?
We've invented all kinds of stuff, Robin. Apparently, we've invented your favorite bean. But here was, you know, to me, the bean situation is kind of like.
I don't know.
Do you remember the Life cereal? Kim, you probably will remember Life cereal. To me, Heinz had created baked beans, and it really didn't take off in the U.S. as in, like, it was doing okay.
Oh, damn it.
And then we said, we looked at the U.K. and we're like, hey, let's let them try it. Maybe they'll like it. Yeah. And the U.K. loves their Heinz 57 beans, and that's okay.
That's fine.
It's an export for us.
If I'm ever over there and someone offers me beans on toast, I won't say no unless I've ate them already 4 or 5 times beforehand. And then, yeah, I might have to go, no, thanks. Cause.
So, people from the UK, this is our rallying call. This message to you now to stand up in support of us bean eaters and lovers of Heinz beans and the understanding. Yes, you had me at beans. The understanding that beans is more than just a generic bland food. It is what we were brought up on. It is the taste of mother cooked these, or well, she opened the can. This is the taste of our childhood. This is the taste when there was only 3 channels on television until Channel 4 started that afternoon, and they broke new ground with a new quiz game and the first ever advert for women's feminine products. 4 channels, and that was when I was 13 years old. So, you know, beans.
And I am thrilled. I am thrilled, Robin. I am thrilled that we were able to create a culture.
Delicious beans and thing beans with flavor. We were proud British people that had beans with very little flavor, and we fucking well loved them. There's spices and there are new fandangled things and. Beans that are named after lady parts. Bush's beans, for goodness sake. Stand with me. Stand with the Heinz 57.
Ironic side note to the whole Heinz 57 thing, the 57 variety bullshit, because there's not 57 of nothing on that site, either website.
No, it was always PR. It was just somebody thought it would be a good marketing thing all those years ago. 57 variety. Good marketing. Good stuff. Anyway, I've really enjoyed the beans thing. It has been fun. It's profound at what differences there are between us. But yeah, anyway, it's been fun. I hope you have all enjoyed your beans and had some taste. I really thank Greg for sending me the Bush's beans. I have had 2 cans and I'm really struggling to open others. Now, the thing, you know, the ramen noodles, could eat them every day for lunch with an egg in them.
Yeah.
6 minutes, 3 minutes to cook them, 3 minutes with an egg. I'm ready to go. But the bean thing is challenging.
Well, I mean, I do get tradition, Robin. I get that it's what you know, it's what you grew up on. So I do understand that.
It's like shooting. It's like guns for you guys.
Exactly.
Don't
take our guns and don't take your beans. I get it. Even if your beans are our beans.
Yeah, right. It's our Second Amendment rights to fart on anyone we want to. Okay.
Well, if you eat enough of them, you'll definitely do that. Holy cow!
All right. Well, yes. What is next then on the overseas connection food challenge?
We'll figure it out. We'll come up with something. Hopefully it won't be nearly as an international scandal, because clearly we have triggered people. I mean, John Malus is ready to like throw down fists. but I love the passion that we've stirred in the whole bean side of it. It's been kind of funny. And then even the weirdness sorry, weirdness, the conflict within the UK, because Mark comes into the chat. He starts talking about how he loves to put salad cream on everything, on his baked potato. And Phil Olson pretty much like snubbed his nose at that and is like, that's disgusting. Yeah. So, I think everybody does things a little bit different here and there. I don't know if you guys get into chili. That would be fun to send maybe some different chilies to you.
Chili started here in the early 90s, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but the important question is chili, beans or no beans?
All depends upon what you're putting it on. So to me, if you're going with like a chili hot dog, it's a no bean situation.
Right.
It's a non-bean chili. But if you were having a bowl of chili, 100% you have to have beans in it. Yeah.
I'll buy that.
Okay. All right. Hey, I think we can move on. Let's talk about video games.
Oh, yeah. That's why we do that, don't we? Oh, well.
Play the Game Boy. You got to learn to play it right.
All right, Kim, we have started a brand new month. Therefore, we have all paid a lot of money for the subscriptions where they tell us we get stuff for free. So let's talk about what we're going to get for free that we paid for.
Alrighty, your games with gold for February are Broken Sword 5, The Serpent's Curse, which is available now through the end of the month. Aerial Knights Never Yield, which is available the 16th through March 15th. Hydrophobia, which is available now through the 15th. And Band of Bugs, which is available the 16th through the 28th. Not a lot there, but whatever. Although I have heard that Broken Sword is apparently very good. So,
I'll check it out.
Yeah. Your PlayStation Plus for February is Planet Coaster for the PS5, EA Sports UFC 4 for the PS4. It's always talking about
to say.
Right. Let's talk about beans. It's got me all worked up. It's terrible. Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon's Keep. Yeah, see, I saw that on the PlayStation 4, which I thought was very good. I liked that DLC when it came out. So, I mean, it's free if you haven't played it.
Is it a standalone DLC? I'm assuming.
Yes. They released it as a standalone thing, which I guess people are kind of pissed off about because it originally was DLC and now they're mad. And I'm like, it's free though, so why? I mean, yeah, okay, I get it. You're paying the money every month, but still, I mean,
we get mad about everything.
Right. Speaking of Tiny Tina, I think I will be buying Wonderlands next month? So,
It's tempting. It's tempting.
It really is. I'm like, it's D&D and I like Tiny Tina and yeah. As long as I get to yell magic missile like every 5 seconds, I'll be fine. Amazon Prime Games for February. We have Stellaris, Ashwalkers. Right, I said Ashwalkers. As far as the Eye of the Hole, apparently I didn't read that one off right. And, or, you know, Robin's been here. oh. Yeah, Robin's been here. We have Double Dick, Double Click Heroes, and Galazzo Soccer League, whatever that is. I'm assuming it's a soccer game of some sort. And Stadia Pro, which is still a thing, although from recent news that I've been hearing, it's not going to be much of a thing for much longer. But anyway, we have...
That's called foreshadowing, Kim.
I know, right? Life is Strange, the Remastered Collection, which includes Life is Strange and Before the Storm. Comic Star Heroine. Nanotale Typing Chronicles. Boy, that fucker sounds exciting. Merrick's Market. And One Hand Clapping. I'm not even going to go there. Fogs. So there you go. I think those are like, what? Yeah, right. What's the sound of One Hand Clapping? Or, never mind.
Okay.
Epic Game Store. We have Yooka-Laylee and the Impossible Lair, which is available now to February 10th. And after that will be Windbound, which will be available February 10th to February 17th. Those are your free games for the month.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. Well, let's talk about what we have been playing. So, Kim, we'll just have you roll right into what you've been playing.
All righty. Kind of the same, although I did forget one, so I added it in this week because I wasn't on last week. I've been playing more Forza Horizon 5, which, like I said, will probably wean off next month when I get into Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, but whatever. So more of the same, me and Boomer and, you know, Forza Horizon 5. You know.
That, by the way, sounded a little bit like one of those paperback novels you read.
Right.
When I get into Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
Right. Wink, wink. I've been playing a little Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare with Tony, which is hilarious because, well, Robin suggested it for one. And when I downloaded it and fired up, Tony just looked at me like, really? And I'm like, well, we'll give it a shot. It might be fun. I mean, I haven't actually played a Plants vs. Zombies game, so I wasn't sure what I was in for. But we fired it up and we played it for, I don't know, we played it for like an hour. But the first 5 or 10 minutes, Tony was like, you know, maybe this isn't so bad. I'm like,
yeah, it's good. You
know, right?
It's a brilliant game. We've had some great multiplayer nights with it. It is really good.
So, yeah. And he actually, as a matter of fact, he was here the other day and he asked if we could play it again. He didn't have enough time.
Wow.
Plants vs. Zombies. And of course, it's free on Game Pass. We have the EA Plus thing, or what, EA Play, whatever the fuck it's called. So,
All right.
That's what I've been doing this week.
Okay. Awesome. Robin, I know you were busy with work, but you did manage to get in a little bit of gaming time. So let's talk about that.
Absolutely. Fired up my wonderful Mass Effect 3 again. Love him a Mass Effect. It is fabulous. It's funny. I was listening quite disappointingly to the Veteran Gamers yesterday while I was doing a bit of work. I won't go into that. Joe Rogan for the win, and they're working their way through the first one at the moment, and it was interesting hearing, especially Chinny, getting into it, and Stu's playing as well, and it was lovely hearing other people enjoying it just as much as I did. Now I'm a Mass Effect 3, and I am kind of playing, doing everything. I'll do every little mission, every bits and pieces. So I've had a good couple of extra hours there. I'm probably getting towards the latter end of it now, so getting my team built up. I remember before when I played originally in Mass Effect 3, there was a little app that you could, a bit like Assassin's Creed, where you could send Black Flag, where you could send off ships to battle, and you get extra points for gold. Where in Mass Effect 3, there was this little app where you could send away teams, and they could build up resources for your overall battle readiness thing went up.
Oh yeah, that's right. The battle readiness. Yeah.
Yeah. So I haven't even looked if the app still exists, but it's getting there anyway. I am still playing as another bastard. So
awesome.
Absolutely. All the way through all three games, every bad decision, I'm there. It hasn't really helped my sex life that much. In fact, I've went all the way through this pretty much now, and I'm frustrated. I really am. None of that whatsoever. Loving it. Really, really good. It looks good. Plays good. And I'll be sad when it's all finished because I can't ever imagine going through it all again. So, And yes.
Hey, Lando. You could always go on to a Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah, and I loved it too.
Yeah, did you finish that?
Oh yeah.
Okay, all right.
Every little nook and cranny and every little bit. Just loved it. Really good. So yes, Halo Infinite. We had a good session the other night with Mark, which was wonderful to play with Mark.
Yes.
Thank goodness there was no video on. Couldn't see him, but it was really fun. We had a good old laugh. We played quite a few rounds. Mark hadn't played it at all. It took him a few rounds to start getting the feel of it. But he started to enjoy it. It wasn't completely crap. Now, God King here, Greg DeLacy, like, oh, yeah, I'm like 50-0. Yeah. Well, 25.
I had some really good rounds. I freely admit I did.
Now, for whatever reason, that must have been Friday night because I had a couple of gins and I was... Yeah, it was good fun.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. It's that Fiesta mode. I want more people to play so we can do some of the other stuff. One of my lads, Corey, is playing the main campaign and loving it too. So I need to get to that. But I keep on going. I'm going to start this new campaign for Halo. And I go, oh, Mass Effect.
I mean, the campaign for Halo Infinite,
I mean, it's very different from the traditional Halo games. So it's not linear at all. But there is a path that's pretty clearly defined. So you're not, if you want to just do the story, you can figure the way to do that. So I have been playing a little bit of the campaign as well. But of course, the multiplayer really was the big draw this week for me with Halo. And so, you know, loved our session on Friday with you and Mark. But we also had a great turnout for Wednesday.
Good.
Yeah, Corazon, Martin, and John Mouse had joined us, as well as Pete Chin. So, yeah, he did, actually.
he doesn't like it.
He actually had quite a good time. And again, it's one of those things of having to take some time to learn the game mechanics and understand some of the game mechanics. I mean, not to sound like a broken record here, but I mean, if you go into it trying to think it's going to be Call of Duty or it's going to be Apex Legends, you're going to be disappointed because it doesn't play like that at all. But we played the Fiesta mode, and that really is, I think, the best mode, especially for new players. You might get your ass handed to you, but you never there's always something kind of new popping into your hands, if you will, for weapons. And I know I said it. So I had to.
You make ass handed to you and something popping into your hands. It's just, it's like an open goal, isn't it, Kim? It really is.
I know. Right?
I try. But
there.
But it's good. It's good fun. And you know, so we had a number of different sessions and kind of people dropping in, dropping out. Anyway, so that will continue on. Next Wednesday, we'll look to repeat and do it again.
It's nice to have community. Yeah. 'Cause I think maybe it's just me, but I kind of think that we've all lost a wee bit of that, the multiplayer nights, and whether it was 4 years ago or whatever it may be. And it's nice to that game with people.
Right. It is. I agree. Corazon's in the chat, by the way, saying I died a lot. Hey, we all do. Right? Especially when we're first picking up the game. I remember the first night Robin and I played together in Halo Infinite. There was one session, one match we won, and it was because the guy that joined us went like 35-2. but we had a blast. And so we'll do it again. I highly recommend, come out Wednesdays. It'll be myself and Robin, one of the two of us. Just look for us and we'll make sure we get some sessions.
Yep. Good fun.
And then one last game to talk about, a game called Dreamscaper.
The person that was playing it. Okay.
No, so this is, it's a new game. It just came out into Game Pass. It is a roguelike game. So it kind of reminds me in some ways, in terms of some of the mechanics, of a Hades, where during your run, the equipment you find and the upgrades are going to just apply to that run. But once you are done, you go back to a kind of a hub area and you can make some upgrades, and those upgrades will stay with you. It's a beautiful looking game. It's kind of an isometric view in terms of the actual gameplay. Combat focused, your standard, physical close quarter combat or ranged attack.
A Diablo style, yeah.
Yeah. The interesting thing is, so you're playing as this girl or young woman who she goes into this dream state, and in the dream state, she is kind of trying to make her way, a pathway through to the end. And if you die, you come back out of your dream, you're back into your apartment, and that's where you can go and explore. There's like a park where you can go meditate, and that will, give you an opportunity to upgrade maybe your health, that kind of thing. And that carries back over into the gameplay itself. And it uses that kind of, the nondescript faces for the characters. So visually, it's a very stunning looking game. It has some really nice lighting effects. But the detail on the actual characters is more muted. You're not seeing noses or mouths or eyes, just kind of the the dummy's look, if you will, where it's just kind of, you know, flesh for the face. And in terms of the combat, it's good. It's responsive. I actually played this on xCloud. So I didn't bother downloading the game. I just fired it up. I was actually on my PC at the time, so I played it through xCloud there, and really enjoyed it. It's just a really fun pick up and play. When you die, you know, it respawns you back into the room, but you can quickly go back into, you know, back into the dungeon if you want. And there's a linear path on the dungeon, so you're going to go from one area to another area to another area. Every time you die and you respawn, they give you different types of weapons. So the first time,
sitting in a bar.
Yeah. So the first time it spawned me, and I had a baseball bat and I think it was a bow and arrow. And the next time it spawned me in, I had boxing gloves and I had a super soaker as my ranged weapon. And so it's very creative, and I don't think it's going to be, at the end of the day, a terribly long game, but there are boss levels, and so that's the other interesting thing. As you're going through the map, it basically shows the map in the upper right-hand corner. You can enlarge it, and you'll see that each area is its own little square, and once you clear a square out, they're gone, and you can go back to that square. Now, you wouldn't really go back to pretty much most of the squares you clear out because there's nothing there, but there are a couple like vendor areas where you can buy upgrades in game, you know, during your run. And so they allow you to fast travel. And so you could just fast travel back to any square you want. And so it makes it really easy for you to fast travel back to it. And they clearly identify the boss square. So once you get to a boss square, you'll see before you go into that next level, you'll see it marked with like a kind of like a skull face on the map. So you kind of know if I go here, I'm getting into my boss battle. So I need to be as prepared as I possibly can be. It's good stuff. I've really enjoyed my time with it.
That's so very, it's better than Elijah.
100,000% better. So yeah, so Dreamscaper. I definitely recommend it. It's on Game Pass as well. So, you know, hey, check it out. And if you want to even go down the road further of I don't want to be too bothered by it, just fire it up through cloud gaming. Again, as long as you have the internet connection, which you do now, Kim, it plays very responsively.
Yeah, I haven't thought about that. I haven't tried that yet. So
yeah, and that's something I just want to throw back out there. This is the promise, quite honestly, that Sony had made with PlayStation Now back when they bought, I can't remember the name of the streaming company that they bought back in the PS3, PS4 day.
Gaikai.
Yeah, which was you could stream a game and play it before you actually download it. And so Xbox is doing that with Game Pass Ultimate. You can play any game in Game Pass through the cloud. And I mean, it's a great way. If you don't want to download a game, you just want to check it out and see if it might be something you're interested in, by all means, that's the good way to do it. So.
Cool.
All right. Well, that is it for the games. Let's get into some news.
Here is the fucking news.
And I see Robin has been into the news as well.
Oh, boy.
All right, Robin, we'll just talk about this. So Sony has bought some...
Bugs.
Or Bungie. Sony announced, and this is the craziness to this year. I mean, you know, we got the Zynga purchase by Tencent early in the year, and that was crazy, $12 billion. And then Microsoft buys Activision. And then we get this week, to start the week off, Sony basically announcing they are buying Bungie. And at first it was, I mean, that it's crazy. $3.6 billion. I think, to be honest, Bungie's worth it. I think they're a fantastic developer. The thing I will say about this deal that it is weird is the way it's structured. So Sony announced that they will, you know, in fact, be buying and acquiring Bungie, but that Bungie will become a subsidiary of Sony Interactive Entertainment. And so that was the first thing that kind of threw me off. I was like, why would they be a subsidiary? And then they announced and have since reconfirmed that Bungie will continue to be able to independently publish all of their games, that Sony, that Bungie will retain creative control over its franchises and continue to develop for multi-platform games, not just PlayStation. And so when you hear that, at first it's kind of like, why the hell are you buying Bungie then if you're not going to try and leverage their exclusivity? Mm-hmm. But a few things have come to light since then, and so I think it makes a lot more sense once you start to think about this. One, Sony has talked about, and Bungie I think also talked about, how Sony had a desire to really leverage Bungie to help them with games as a service games, because Bungie has very good experience through Destiny 1 and Destiny 2 with that. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that Sony does in fact have like 10 games as service games in the works now. And so getting a company like Bungie under the umbrella to help with that, make sure, you know, that they can maybe get a couple winners out of that 10, makes sense. The other aspect to this is Sony also is interested in trying to leverage Bungie and I'm assuming Destiny really as potential movie television IP.
When Bungie separated from Microsoft and Microsoft held on to Halo, or they bought Halo, mm-hmm. that they had the rights to that. Bungie doesn't. I'm looking here, and they don't exactly have the biggest back catalog ever. You know, there's
no
Myth. Is, you know, but that, we were back to 1997 here. Myth and Myth
there's
2.
Oni.
Oh yeah, but no, there's not much else. You know, after that, they were concentrated on Halo, and then we into Destiny. So yeah, so you know, they're banned for that knowledge or tech, I suppose. But it seems to be a hell of a lot. I mean, just not poach the friggin' staff.
Well, apparently out of that 3.6 million, like 1.4, something like that, 1.4 billion of that is actually dedicated to retaining employees. Mm-hmm. So they absolutely want to keep that staff in place. And they're making the efforts to do that. So, okay. I mean, you know, Sony definitely has a long-term thought and plan for this purchase. I think it's interesting though. It also paints to a new direction for Sony. Who would have thought you would hear Sony saying that they acquired a company and that company was really going to retain its identity and self-publish and be a multi-platform developer? We've got some additional Sony news, and it really was a Sony week because there was a lot happening on the Sony front. So after this, they did have their investors call. They announced a lot of financial stuff. Sony during its holiday quarter or fiscal quarter shipped 3.3 million units for a total of 17.3 million PS5s since its launch. The interesting thing is they did drop their forecast this year. So they've dropped the forecast for the PS5 shipments for the fiscal year to 11.5 million units. So that's down from initially what was supposed to be 14.8 million. They're citing the chip shortage as still being an ongoing issue. You know, that's a big drop in your forecast. Nobody ever wants to see that. I think Sony's going to be fine, obviously. I don't think this is really going to impact them terribly much, but they're not being as aggressive with their forecasting for sure. They did report on the revenue side, 813.3 billion yen, which is about 7.09 billion in revenue for its gaming division, which is down from 883.2 billion or 7.703 billion over the same quarter last year. But operating profits had risen 12.1%. So even though The revenue was down overall. The profit was up. So that really kind of signals, I think, to some refining of their processes on the back end for the PS5, but also it still speaks to the pandemic and the chip shortage. Now, after that, Sony had a state of play. That was Wednesday, where they showed off Gran Turismo 7 footage on the PS5, and talked about modes and features. And I mean, it all looks proper Gran Turismo. I watched a little bit of it. I didn't go through it with a fine tooth comb. It looks like a good racing game. I think PlayStation fans will be more than happy with it. If you're a Gran Turismo fan, your game is coming. It's exciting. I think they said they'll have 400 cars available at launch. Okay. No conversation around premium cars versus non-premium cars. So I think every car will get the proper detail.
Get the puddles right, you know.
Puddling is important.
Just to bring it back a bit.
Okay.
So I'm just looking there to see why has nobody, maybe they have, and if anybody has found one, please, because it seems like an open goal to me. We're talking about Bungie and Annie going on to Halo, and I'm talking about Master Chief. And I'm wondering why nobody has ever done a Master Chef and Master Chief. Like Master Chief coming on to Master Chef with his dish and Gordon Ramsay going, this is crap. Why has no one done that? It seems like an open goal for a bit of humor. Anyway, I might have to do it myself. Okay, right.
I'll just leave that squarely in your court, Robin.
Okay, squarely.
Let's
finish this fight.
Yes, let's finish this fight. Sony saves play again. Gran Turismo 7. The next day, it wasn't a state of play, but we did in fact get our first views of Ghostwire Tokyo. And this, of course, is from Tango Gameworks, who is now owned by Microsoft, but Sony has the PlayStation exclusive to the game for a year. That game has a firm release date now for March 25th. A lot of people have checked out the gameplay and thought, you know what, it looks pretty interesting. It's not my kind of game, but it's a horror game, and I'm just not a horror kind of person.
Nope.
I've been called a whore many times, but not a horror person.
No.
I'm glad you cleared that up.
Here to help.
They fight me.
Although, to be fair, I thought it was supposed to be Tokyo Ghostwire, not Ghostwire Tokyo. But apparently, I got my wires crossed in there somewhere. So,
well played. Anyway, that I think is promising. And Sony really has a kind of a stacked year. If you start looking at all the games coming out for the PlayStation, now not exclusive to the PlayStation, MLB The Show. Again, I never thought I would see the day you'd be talking about PlayStation games that are actively now in multiplayer. But the MLB The Show is coming April 5th. It will be cross-platform again, so it will be coming to the Series X and the Series S, as well as, of course, the PlayStation 5. I'm sure Xbox and PlayStation 4 will also get a version of it. But for the first time, it will be coming to the Nintendo Switch as well. So that's, again, just, I don't know what is coming of the gaming world. We've got Sony making games going out to multi-platforms. And I think this also was a bit of kind of Jim Ryan's vision. I think Jim Ryan has a very different vision than the previous regimes within Sony. I think he is thinking much more akin to what I think Microsoft has been looking at gaming being more than just a platform.
But he is
hardware, I should say.
Yeah, he's such a creative guy. Really, the stuff he's done over the years has been fantastic. What he's done with Sony now, it's brilliant. So you're waiting for it, aren't you? You're waiting for something else. You know, I'm not going to say I loved his work when he was in the Muppets and he had like the Kermit and Miss Piggy and Gonzo and all that. And really, really, really fantastic.
Goodness. Last piece of news, and this is actually a rumor. This is what, Kim, you alluded to earlier in the show. Yep. So the rumor is that, and this is according to the website Business Insider, Stadia is being shopped around. Google is planning to try and salvage its Stadia technology by shopping it and basically selling it off to another organization with the name Google Stream. And the insider also claims that the consumer platform for Stadia has been deprioritized. I think that's pretty evident and obvious. They're not putting a lot of effort into it. And so this just falls into kind of what we all thought was going to happen with Google.
I have my Stadia. I have it. You know, it's there. It's just before its time. What do you think, Don?
And I approve this message.
So, you know, I really and truly, I don't know what we do there. You know, it's sad, but, you know, they seem to throw so much money at the beginning and so much promise, and it just went nowhere quickly. And I'd love to know the reason why it went nowhere quickly. Was it just because the technology was there?
Or did actually, because, I mean, well, I mean, I beta tested Stadia Pro, and so beta.
It's great, yeah.
The Google Stream tech works. I was very impressed. The biggest problem, and this is something that I think Phil Spencer had alluded to in a conversation, I think even Jim Ryan has talked about it, but I mean, one of the big fears right now in the industry is we have outside technology organizations that are large, they have deep pockets, and you know, they're potentially, you know, interested in making moves into the gaming industry because they see it as this you know, revenue potential. The problem is a lot of them, and Google absolutely was a victim of this. They thought they could come in with just technology and that would be enough. You know, kind of, you know, build the stadium and they will come. That was their entire mentality with Google Stadia is we will build it and they will come. And the problem is gaming, it just doesn't work that way. As video gamers, we want something to go to, not just the tech. The tech can be found anywhere. Mm-hmm. We want, you know, games that really excite us to draw us in. And that's something Stadia just completely did not do. They literally had no games that were developed by Google or specifically for Google at launch. And so it was just kind of like, well, everything you're offering, I can already get. You know, what is my incentive to be in the Google platform? And of course, Google's track record when it comes to technology is not great. They do a lot of, you know, hey, we're going to start this up.
They've got that good little thing, like a search engine thing. It's kind of good.
they do hit some home runs, but you know, how's Google Hangouts these days?
Right.
Yeah.
I've never hung out, so we can.
Oh my God, it's the worst thing in the world. Every once in a while, I get somebody that wants to do a meeting in Google Hangouts, and I'm like, why? Why are you doing this to me?
So we can then say that Stadia is pretty much it's good in the chop now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that is safe to say. I think the death bells are starting to ring. And when the bell finally stops, that will, I mean, it could be this year. It's crazy to think about. But I mean, on the other hand, I think Google easily can just let this just kind of be and exist and do what they're doing now, which is putting minimal effort into it. And they're probably still being able to make at least some money back to where it's like, okay.
But they had some big heavy hitters of staff, didn't they?
Well, they hired people, but they hired people after they had announced the launch of the product. And so that's the thing is they brought in what...
Are they still there?
Your guess is as good as mine. They literally launched Stadia with no game announcement other than, you know, third-party announcements of these are games we're going to bring to the service. Mm-hmm. But there was no, hey, and Google is here to announce Halo or... you know, The Last of Us. We've made this exciting game that's only going to be available on our system. None of that. And so it just, you know, I mean, you talk about falling flat. That was their biggest problem. And it's not a problem that can be fixed in a couple of years because you have to then develop the games. And they tried doing that retroactively, but I think it was too little too late. So anyway, that's the news. Kim, we do have some new releases. Let's get back to something positive. Let's talk about the games coming up that we absolutely could potentially buy or not.
Alrighty. For your new releases for February 6th to the 12th, we have Ollie Ollie World for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on February 8th. One that I'm sure a few people are looking forward to is Sifu, which I swear I see that, and I think of that little furry thing off of Kung Fu Panda, but whatever. Was it Dustin Hoffman did the voice of? Anyways, we have Sifu for the PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and PC on February 8th, which I've read some news that says people that are downloading it early, I guess, are having issues with it. So that's if you're one of those early adopters, just be forewarned. They're looking into it. Action Arcade Wrestling for the Switch on February 9th. Backbone also for the Switch on February 9th as well. Crossfire X, which apparently is a big thing. I guess Remedy had made the campaign. I did not know that. So apparently they it should be pretty good. It will be out for the Xbox Series X and S and Xbox One on February 10th, and it will be on Game Pass. So there you go there. Edge of Eternity for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, February 10th. Cardboard Kings for the PC, whatever that is. It sounds like a game about bums and hobos, but what do I know? That'll be out February 10th. Cardboard Kings. I don't know. Kingdom Hearts 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue for the Switch, February 10th. Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 and 2.5 Remix, also for the Switch, February 10th. Kingdom Hearts 3 for the Switch, February 10th as well. Not Kingdom Hearts, but No By Heart for the PC on February 10th. And last but not least, Lost Ark for the PC on February 11th.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go. Exciting. Hey, I actually have pre-ordered a game.
I know. What'd you pre-order?
This is even the bigger shock.
Really?
Might be, yeah. Elden Ring.
Wow. That's
yeah.
I thought about it, but it's like Dark Souls, and I'm not sure I want to be punished, so...
Yeah, I want to give Game Informer some props because I do listen to their podcast every once in a while, and they did a preview on Elden Ring, just gushed about it. Uh-huh. But they talked about a lot of the tweaks they've done to that format and how it's not – I think it still has that punishing aspect to it, but right. They've added a lot of just processes or you know ways in which a player can avoid – the Dark Souls problem. And, yeah. And I say the Dark Souls problem of you wander into the skeleton forest and you get annihilated because you had no idea, you know, they were 20 levels above you and you shouldn't ever set foot in the forest.
Right.
So they have some things in place that kind of help you to avoid that if you want. You still mm-hmm. can do it, but they make it a little more, again, I'll just say first-time user-friendly. Is I guess the best way I would put it. At least that's the impression I got. So I reached out to Mark. I'm like, hey, are you interested in Elden Rings? He's like, oh my God, yes. He's like, I totally want to get this game. I was like, well, let's go in halves and we'll pre-order it. So,
well, I'll keep my ears open then and tell me what you think. And if it's not too terrible, then yeah.
Well, Mark was excited. He said, well, we'll buy it on my account. This way, if you hate it, you can blame me, but you can't return it.
Right. Yeah, because I'm interested because it is some of that fantasy stuff again. But yeah. I'm also not of the notion of getting my ass kicked 3 billion in one times and then eventually just putting the controller down in frustration and walking away. And knowing that I spent $70 on a game that I refuse to play because it pisses me off. So, you know, let me know.
Good news is it's not 70, it's only 60.
Oh, all right. Well, that's good.
Oh, wow. I mean, I have the trailer playing now, so I mean, this cutscene-y stuff looks lovely, but what sort of is the Dark Souls third person?
It's from software, yeah. So third but person.
Game of Thrones world? Or just R. Martin?
R. Martin wrote it, yeah. So the writer from Game of Thrones is the one who wrote the story for this game. Okay. So,
yeah,
well, we shall see.
Alrighty.
Good luck with that. Yeah, that's good. Good luck.
All right. Game nights, Robin. Let's talk about it. Do you think you're going to be here on Wednesday night?
Yeah.
And I'm here Wednesday. Yeah, I'm here this week.
What are you going to be doing Wednesday, Robin?
Breathing.
Playing.
You all have a victory's achieved.
We
victory's
won. Achieved. We won. I'm going to play. Achieved. 9 o'clock, between at least 9 o'clock. It could be 10, but usually 9 o'clock. I'm going to be playing Halo Infinite, and I'm on the H57 team. So come and join me, and we'll kick some bean butt. Yeah, so join, glom on to me, or Mark, or anybody at all, or Greg, or Kim, anybody that's playing Halo, Pete. Just jump into the party. Jump in. We won't bite. And if we like you very, very much, Greg will send you beans.
Woo! Yeah, I have literally changed my team name in Halo to Bean. Mm-hmm. So there you go. All right. Well, this has been lovely. It has been. Bean talk, it's video game talk. It's been exciting. It has been real. Yeah. We've had sides chosen, decisions made. I feel like we have a kind of a loose piece, kind of like what's happening in the Ukraine right now with Russia. It's, you know, there's the threat of invasion and attacking, but it's not, you know, it's all there. Maybe a little bit of fake news happening here and there too, but who knows? I know. Anyway, on that note, Kim, why don't we do some shout outs? I know we had a couple people in the chat. Let's give some love.
All right. I'm going to shout out some of our chatters. We've had Lord and Corzon in there today. So thanks, fellas, for stopping by.
Just cheering for Lord and Corzon.
Gotcha. Scared me there for a minute. I want to shout out the man with the velvet voice, Phil. Happy birthday, dude. And, the guy who keeps our D&D on track, or at least tries to, because honestly, I listened to our last episode, and you know it's good when it says it's 40 minutes, and all of a sudden it ends, and you're like, was that 40 minutes already? So, and I mean, I was there. I know what happens, but it's good fun, and I enjoy it very much. So, hopefully we'll get to have another one of those here soon. I hope. I kind of miss you guys. So, you know, I think maybe I missed the almost killing of Mark, you know, because God knows that happens more than a few times.
Yeah.
So, poor Mark in his boxes, and he can't swim, apparently, and, you know, issues. So, anyway, everybody have a good week this week. God, I hope winter's just about over. Over to you, Robin.
I'm just looking up my microphone here. This thing coming down, I was thinking...
Oh, that's a microphone? Oh.
Yeah. Could one of Pete's little cages work as a, you know, like...
Oh, my God, that would be great.
Filter, yeah, right?
Filter cock cage. Because it was sort of the same shape. Wouldn't that be funny?
You might need to try.
Might have to. Thanks. And do you know what, Corzan and Lord, anybody that's dropping into the live chat, it's always really nice. It's always nice to say hi and interact that way. I always used to love that too. I hope everybody is getting into gear again and we're starting to get into some sort of normality, even though I wouldn't have thought it when I was in IKEA today, and life is starting to get back together. But Charlie, my son, has tested positive again, and he had COVID at the beginning of December, and now he tested positive the other day. Now he's got a bit of a sore throat and a cold again, but shit, he'll be all right. So thankfully it's anyway. I'm not going there. Have a great week. I'll see you for Halo on Wednesday night, and I'll post some photographs of Man Cave if I make some big progress, because it's a new world for me. So,
I feel like that we need to be singing a Whitney Houston song right now.
I done the ironing this morning at home. As you do.
Thank you to both of you.
After the 10th version of Let It Go from Frozen with Jasmine singing it, I'd had enough. Anything? Yeah,
I can understand that.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, thank you, both of you, for being on the show. Always a fun weekend to chat, and talk games, talk life. Big shout out, to Corzan, to Lord, for being in the chat.
Phil's birthday.
Yep, yep. Phil, being older, we salute that. Again, like the ageless wonder, even though he aged prematurely. A big shout out to Gamex 14.
Damage.
And anybody out there who might be just kind of suffering through some stuff, keep your chins up. Always know you can talk to anybody, especially from this this podcast crew. We are here to help. We're good listeners. Every once in a while, we might even have some good advice, like talk to Robin. It's the best advice I can ever give.
You know what? One last thing I got to say there. I think Hardly Dan. Dan, look up Hardly Dan. I think he's doing a charity thing this weekend. It's a biking thing. So
there you go.
So if you know Hardly
Cheers
Dan,
to Dan.
I think he's doing. I'll have to have a look and see if he's raising a bit of money. I think he is.
Go. All right.
All right.
I think that's it then. We can maybe close down this podcast and reset for next week. Bye.
Hello, my fellow podcast family.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.